Okay. Any last contributions?
Sophia.
Yes, Sophia, go ahead.
It seems to me that once the terms of the contract of the election supervisor have been set, then that is the standard, not the will and with of the IED or the ED, and the any attempt by the ED to interfere with the terms of the contract being the standard of conduct is a basis for breach of contract and for a lawsuit. The notion that some outside body is going to have the interest of Pacifica at heart more intensely than the ED, I think, is inaccurate.
Okay. Well, with that, we need to go to a vote on the motion. So, Bill, would you reread the motion, please?
Okay. And I just emailed it to you a few minutes ago. Everybody.
Thank you.
The election committee recommends that the PNB rescind the motion they passed at the March 8th PNB meeting dealing with the, quote, independence of the NES.
Okay. Yosh, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Let's take it from the middle. Tracy Larkins?
Yes.
Anthony Theft?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Steve Brown?
Yes.
Jim Brown?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
Oh, pass. Can I pass and come back and vote later?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yosh votes yes. Bonnie Simmons? Wendy Schrell?
Yes.
Ithia Wangaza?
No.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
And I believe we're still missing Warren Marr, so we'll go back to Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
3, 6, 7 yays. 2, 4. We got 4 nays. So the motion passes 7-4 to nothing.
Okay, so that will be sent on to the PNB. All right. Well, now we need to go to some other aspects of this process. The next agenda item is.
Bob, can I
sure.
request that that any policies regarding the elections that particularly apply to the first section of the elections, and that would be specifically the engagement of the broadest possible listenership and also the integrity of both the staff and membership lists, be forwarded to me and to the rest of the committee if you have any such policies, whether proposed or adopted.
Sure, I can look for what I can find, and anyone else on the committee can look, you know, as far as past documents, and we can, you know, get going on future policies for the areas where there are gaps.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is the next step in the bidder review and recommendation process. Realizing, of course, we're not going to get into the particular bidders until we get into executive session in a few minutes. But does anyone want to propose what we do next?
This is Yosh.
Yes.
Well, I guess what we should do in executive session is discuss pros and cons and come up with a ranking of the three remaining vendors.
Okay, now can I ask you to clarify what would we do about the NES? Because some of the vendors have suggested certain people as NES. So should we also do a ranking of those individuals?
We certainly could. I don't see why we should be precluded. Of course, as Grace knows, as we all know, the ultimate choice, whether it's the election committee's first choice, last choice, or non-choice, the ultimate selection of the NES is up to the executive director.
Right.
All we're doing is making a recommendation based on the facts that we have before us.
Right. Okay. Anyone else on this next step issue?
Excuse me. Yeah, Steve Brown.
Yeah.
You say that some of the vendors have recommended an NES. Will that have any bearing on our vote for the vendor? Does the vendor make his or her acceptance conditional on selection of the NES they recommended? I wasn't here for the last call, so I don't know that.
Who would like to answer that? I mean, I don't remember. I remember with one vendor we discussed that question, and their answer was, well, if you picked someone other than the person we nominate, we would then assess the situation at that time and see if we could work with that person. So my guess is that the other two vendors are probably, well, one of the vendors is not even bidding at all on the NES or the LES, so that's moot for them. And the other one, I don't know. Anyone who was on that call could recall. I don't think we explicitly asked the question, but we did inform them of the new motion from the PNB and how the situation has changed. And then they did submit a revised bid. So, you know, we'd have to take up that question with them. It's now two separate processes.
Great.
All right. Anyone else on the next step issue?
This is Yosh again.
Yeah.
I think I may have neglected to say after we rank the vendors and the NESs that we forward the recommendations together with the comments, pros and cons, to either the PNB and or to the executive director.
Okay. Would you like to make that as a motion?
I thought we were just discussing, but
just for the record, if that's the process we're going to follow, we might as well agree formally to do it before we go into the executive session.
Sure, I can make that as a formal motion.
I think that would pass without objection.
Do you need a minute to word it? Or are you?
Well, I guess it would be that the working group.
Well, actually, we're convening as the entire committee
okay.
tonight, so you could say that the election committee in
the
executive session.
The election committee review the bids and rank the three vendors and NESs and forward the committee's recommendations to the PNB and the acting executive director.
Okay. Is there any discussion or amendments of Yosh's motion?
I have a question. This is Grace. Sorry I wasn't participating in this committee earlier. How many vendors have been, and I want to say that I very much appreciate all the work that this committee has done. The time it's taken me to just scratch the surface of the paperwork. I know how much detail was put into this and how many hours of work has gone into it. What I'd like to know is this. In the final process of a pool of candidates for the NES, how many vendors do we have and how many individuals do we have for that position?
I believe at this stage we're considering three vendors, only two of whom are also bidding for the NES and LESs. And so they each have one person that they're suggesting as the NES and then five. Well, one of them has five people for LES. The other said that the NES would engage in a hiring process for the LESs, obviously with the approval of the ED.
Okay. And do we have any individuals in this pool?
We haven't sought individuals. That's what the PNB agreed to, was our proposal that it be done as a package or a company that could, you know, bifurcate the package, which one of them did.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other any amendments or comments on Yosha's motion? Actually, I just realized one thing that we should probably amend it, because since the revised bid from one company after their interview just came in today, I believe, or was just sent to the committee today, we may not be prepared to make a final recommendation on that on tonight's call. So rather than wait till the full committee reconvenes on April 20th, maybe we should empower the working group, if we decide tonight in executive session that we're not quite ready, maybe empower the working group to make the recommendation. What do people think?
This is Grace. I'd like to state that I would strongly recommend that, because we have no director representation from KPFK. I am not asking myself to be the voting member on this body, but it would either be Sean or Rico, and I believe Rico does not want to be on this committee, so that would make Sean, who is willing to be on the committee, our director representative. So I'd like for this decision to be made after Sean is able to review these proposals.
And when would that be?
So that KPFK has some say in this.
And right. when would that be that decision's made? Great.
Well, the way the director membership on committees was done at the in-person PNB meeting was to have the directors decide which committees they wanted to be on, and a voting process was used only when there was a dispute. So it's up to the directors. Leslie resigned. I don't wish to be a voting member of this committee, so that leaves either Rico or Sean. Rico doesn't really want to be on this committee, so it leaves Sean, and he is willing to participate as a voting member, but he's has not had the chance to review all the work that you have all done. So I would suggest that, in all fairness to our full participation as a station in this process, that we postpone the voting on the ranking of the vendors until Sean has the chance to review the information.
Okay, Bob?
Yes, Wendy.
So since, you know, the rules of the PNB are pretty much that any director has access to any information in the whole organization, and so, I suggest that we go ahead and send Sean the information that we have, trust that Rico has really said he doesn't want to do it, I believe him, and then we can let Sean participate and then have the PNB ratify him after the fact.
Thank you.
I don't have any opinion on postponing before then, but yeah, I mean, we should send him the stuff.
This is Anthony.
Yes.
Isn't there a PNB teleconference in about a week?
Can we wait that long?
May I speak? This is Sean. May I speak to that?
Yes, go ahead.
We were all literally at the PNB meeting in L.A. self-appointed. I can't think of any challenges off the top of my head to anybody. So in light of that, I think, and in light of the fact that my PNB colleague, Mr. Ross, does not want to be on this committee, I think we should just allow the same process to go through. I'm sorry to use the term self-appointed, but that was a fact. And send me the stuff. I'll be up to speed within 48 hours.
To answer Anthony's question, the next meeting is on April 5th. Sunday, yeah. April 5th.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
So it appears that Sean should be a member of our committee. He says that he can come up to speed within 48 hours. Should we therefore delay this whole discussion for 48 hours or 72 hours?
Well,
that makes good sense.
The way I see this is that we've been engaged in a process for a long time. We're almost done with it, and it's very hard to get nights that we can all be together. So with the caveat that I said earlier that we just got one of the revised bids, so we're not going to make a final decision, but I think we should at least have some time in executive session to discuss, those of us who are up on the issues, to discuss our preliminary impressions, and then we can schedule another meeting for, you know, some short time in the future to make kind of a final vote. But I also want to say that I don't think, as much as I understand and certainly have no problem with Sean or any other person that, you know, is is agreed by the other directors to sit on any committee, I do think that the rules should be followed and that the person can always sit in on any meeting, but voting should wait until they're formally appointed by the PNB. So it's a very minor distinction, because someone who sits on the committee, who sits on the call, can participate.
Mr. Chair.
Except they just can't vote.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
There was no voting when I was appointed to the audit committee, I don't know why we should have to wait here, since there is nobody to challenge my election. It is more or less by acclamation. All you're doing is slowing down and delaying the process.
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Yes.
And Bill?
I agree with Sean that the affirmation by the PNB is a formality, and I think it should take place, but I think that this committee now could easily vote to accept Sean as a voting member as soon as he says he's had time to get up to speed with this. So if we could meet as scheduled tonight in executive session and allow Sean to participate fully, and then if we want to have any further voting, have an emergency meeting, which I consider kind of a waste of our time, actually, we can always rescind Sean's vote if the PNB decides that he is not fit to serve. Really, it seems to be much ado about nothing. It's quite obvious that we're following the same protocol that was followed in January, the original committees.
Okay,
Bill. Bill for the start.
And Bill.
Bill was next, and then Wendy.
Well, I have a suggestion that may resolve this. If we did what we did before we did the interviews with the vendors, we could each just email to one of us, whoever volunteers to compile the rankings. We could each email our rankings along with any comments we have to summarize as the pros and cons. Then those can be compiled and sent on to Grace and the PNB, and everybody can see who ranked which vendor how.
Okay, Wendy and then Tracy.
Okay, I appreciate that we want to have every station represented, but I now have to say, you know, apparently your director at KPFK resigned and didn't do it in a manner that ensured that someone else would be on to represent. And this is not a big deal. It's just a committee thing. I don't think that the argument that, well, we can't vote because there's no one represented from KPFK, it's a little odd. We've got LSB members from KPFK. But anyway, I just think that we're making a lot of ado about stuff that I don't know that it will make a difference one way or another on anything. And so I just hope that we don't get too caught up in this. I mean, how do we even know Leslie resigned?
She
sent out an email. Yeah. To the committee? Yeah, she did. She sent out an email, plus she announced it at an LSB meeting,
okay.
A public LSB meeting.
Okay, Tracy?
We're at time.
I would prefer to go forward as we were already planned, rather than waiting for a new member to be seated before the PNB has decided that they are the exact replacement for Leslie.
Okay. So we're at time, so we need to vote on. There's actually not a motion on the floor. Does someone have a motion about the KPFK representation on this committee?
I think Carol is. Yeah, I think my motion was maybe a little wordy.
vote that we seat Sean Casey O'Brien as the representative from KPFK at this meeting.
Okay, and I would just note it's a violation of the bylaws for a committee to add members to its own ranks. That's something only the board can do. But we can put that to a vote.
Well, yeah, because I'm very unsure of that. That's a...
The PNB elect members to the PNB committee. They do. Bob's right.
Yeah, but there's no election here because there's no one to run against. I'm just saying this is the same thing that we did in Los Angeles.
Okay.
It was by acclamation.
All right. Time has expired. Let's, Yosh, please call the roll on Carolyn's motion to seat Sean.
Okay. We'll start from the top. Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
Sorry, yes.
Jim Brown.
Abstain.
Steve Brown. Steve, are you there? We'll come back to Steve. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Anthony Theft.
Yes.
Tracy Larkins.
No.
Warren Marr. Bob Lederer.
No.
Isia Wangaza.
Yes.
Wendy Schrell.
No.
Bonnie Simmons. Yosh votes no.
Yosh, I'm sorry. Steve Brown, I just got back. I had to step away. I vote
Steve.
No.
I believe the yeas carry it. We got 2, 4, 5. Well, maybe not.
Wesley passed.
Who passed?
Didn't he?
Not that time.
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
Wesley voted yes.
Three.
Jim Brown abstained.
Well, I guess the motion does not pass. It's tied 5 yea, 5 nay.
Well,
okay.
Chair, no.
I've got an alternative motion, which is to seat Sean Casey O'Brien immediately on this committee upon the PNB notifying us of his seating.
And can I just clarify that that would not preclude him from participating in discussions, but just not voting until the PNB has formalized that? Is that in the sense of your motion, Yosh?
No, I would allow him to vote, and we would put an asterisk next to his vote. That's assuming that the PNB cannot get an email, you know, election within the next 48 hours.
Oh, they can't do that.
Oh, come on, Wendy.
When you say we need unanimous consent, there's always one person that will say no.
If I can... Bob, can I rebut?
Yeah, go ahead, Yosh.
Okay. Well, you know, look, all it requires is, you know, there are only 4 directors from KPFK, okay? One has already resigned. She's out, okay? Grace has indicated that she does not want to serve, okay? Apparently, Rico does not want to serve either. Sean Casey O'Brien has indicated a willingness. Okay, all it requires is one simple email going out to the entire PNB saying, you know, the above 3 directors from KPFK have indicated that they're either resigning or not willing to run for elections committee, leaving only one director, and Sean Casey O'Brien has indicated that he is willing to serve on elections committee. Is there any problem with seating him on the elections committee? Say ye. If you do not respond within 48 hours, then we will assume that you have no objection to Sean Casey O'Brien.
Point of information, Steve Brown, is there a possibility of my changing my vote at this point?
That once the total is announced, you can't change your vote. But let's go ahead and vote on Yosh's motion so we can...
I'm sorry, excuse me. He can move to rescind if he wants at this point.
Reconsider. Mm-hmm.
Reconsider, thank you. I knew there was a word.
I can only do that if I voted yes.
No, there was no majority. As long as you voted.
It doesn't matter if there's a majority.
All right, Yosh, can you just restate your motion, please?
Okay, that Sean Casey O'Brien...
Yes, I am.
Provisionally be seated on the elections committee and be allowed to vote with an asterisk in a meeting of the working group pending formal ratification of his membership by the PNB.
Okay, is there any objection to that motion?
Yeah.
Okay, Yosh, can you please call the roll?
Okay, we will go up from Anthony Fest.
Excuse me, could you read it again, please?
Oh, no. I can't chew gum and write the
same. Yeah, it's a lot to ask of the secretary when he makes his own motion.
Can someone else read it again?
To provisionally seat Sean Casey O'Brien on the elections committee and allow him to provide input to the working group's recommendations pending final seating by the PNB.
Okay, Anthony, you got it?
Thanks.
Okay. So you're right. To please call
going
the line.
Going up, Anthony Fest.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Steve Brown.
Yes.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Yosh votes yes. Bonnie Simmons is not here. Wendy Schrell.
Yes.
Sophia Wangaza.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Warren Marr is not here. Tracy Varkens.
Abstain.
Okay. The yeas carry it. It's unanimous except for one abstention.
Okay, thank you.
Could someone please turn off the radio in the background? It's quite loud. Thank you.
Okay, well, at this point, we are at the time we agreed to adjourn into executive session, so I just want to give a quick opportunity if anyone has any last urgent item. Obviously, we can't open a whole new item of business, but if there's some announcement or something to flag our attention before we go into executive session.
Mr. Chair, this is Sean Casey O'Brien,
yes.
And I would just like to thank you all, and I look forward to working with you on this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. Anyone else? Okay, so then just to recap, we're going to executive session on the same number, and we're meeting again on April 20th, but we may decide to reconvene before then to, you know, if we don't resolve our recommendations tonight. Okay? All right, so, yes.
You know, Mr. Chair, would you consider postponing this executive session that we take another 5 minutes to see if we can't come up with a mutually agreeable time and date, either 48 or 72 or some days down
the road? Oh, sure. No, that makes sense. So you're anticipating we're not going to finish the process tonight. Is that what
correct.
You're
it seems
okay.
like we would be doing the same process twice, you know, once without Sean Casey O'Brien and then once again after he's seated, and I think, you know, I'd rather, it's called judicial economy, and I'd rather just have one hearing instead of two.
Agreed.
Okay. All right, so...
may I speak to that, Carolyn?
Sure, go ahead.
Is it your ruling that Steve Brown's motion to reconsider is out of order, or...?
We settled it. He's being seated, you know,
and
has voting rights.
I'm just asking about that particular motion, which...
Yes, on that question, yes, he did not vote for the prevailing motion.
There was no prevailing... The prevailing motion was a tie. There was no prevailing motion. And, in fact, if it failed, he did vote for the prevailing motion. He voted with the winning side.
All right.
In effect, Carol, however, the motion we just passed seems to provide virtually everything that a rescission would have provided. So I don't know that we have to bother at this point.
Yeah, we're past time on the meeting. Can we just agree on a date for our next meeting? So who would like to propose a date?
Well, I would say perhaps 3 days down the line, this being Monday? So either a Thursday or a Friday this week?
Yeah, Thursday is our LSB meeting.
And there's a governance meeting, I believe, on Thursday, or it might be Wednesday, but I think it's Thursday.
Oh, and I can't make Friday, although that doesn't stop meeting from going forward. Then we've got Saturday or Sunday.
How about Sunday evening?
We have...
Well, we can either make it really tight and make it a Wednesday night, or we can make it a little bit looser and go for Sunday sometime.
There's a governance committee meeting on Wednesday night.
Wednesday? Okay, then I guess we're pretty much stuck with either Sunday or possibly next Monday.
I think governance can meet any time. Elections is more timely.
Tell that to the chair of governance.
No dissing on a public call.
How about 1 week from tonight?
Wow.
Yeah.
I could do that day.
No, we have, yeah, that might work.
Yes, everyone agreeable for Monday the 30th at same time and place, 5:30?
That Halloween?
8:30.
For that.
So is there's no objection to Monday, March 30th?
I have a little question. Is there any chance that the meetings could be earlier if everyone can make it earlier? It would be the West Coast people who might have difficulty with that. I don't have, and I don't think Sean does.
East Coast people would love it.
Does anyone on the West Coast have a problem with meeting, say, at 7:30 Eastern?
I have none. As long as I can arrange it, I have none.
I'm fine at 7:30.
Tracy?
Bill?
I'm okay with it this time, but I prefer generally 5:30.
Okay. Anthony?
Yeah, ditto to that. This special meeting, I'll make arrangements, but those of us who are working, I don't know, starting before 5:30 is difficult, but I'd try to adapt if I could, because I realize it's quite late for the people on the East Coast.
Okay, so we're agreeing to 7:30 Eastern next Monday, March 30th. Is that correct? Any problems with that day or time? Okay, so hearing none, that's our next meeting. Now, do people want to at least briefly talk in executive session tonight or skip it altogether? I think it might be good to just talk for maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Maybe to see what information we're lacking from certain bidders that we might want to ask them to provide more by next Monday. Does anyone object to a short executive session?
I'm in.
Okay, so why don't we have a five... I'm sorry, Yosh? What?
I can't get excited about it, but it's
yeah,
okay.
Well, none of us are thrilled. But why don't we have a five-minute adjournment, and then we'll reconvene on this line in executive
hey,
session.
Hey, Bob?
Yes.
Well, if we're going to have a shorter executive committee meeting, can we continue with a few of the other items on the regular agenda?
Let's see if the committee wants to do that.
That makes sense.
I don't think we really can we? Public things go along in public session.
No, Bill, I think
these
you meant
things.
Some of the public things. Yeah.
Oh, you want to continue now in public, you mean?
Yes.
Rather than a
regular agenda.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, what would you like to propose? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? Bill?
20?
Okay, is there any objection to going till 10:30 Eastern? Okay, hearing none, then we'll continue with the public meeting. So the next item on the agenda is, well, we've touched on it, but let's kind of tie up what we're doing on the question of litigation liability and the NES. There was a mention of asking corporate counsel to weigh in on this. Does anyone want to make that more formal, or should we just let it leave it to the IED to talk to the counsel? How do you want to proceed on this?
This is Yosh.
Yes.
I'm not proposing a motion. In fact, all I did was I asked that this issue be taken up as an agenda item tonight. I was not proposing that the Foundation Council join us tonight or any night. I just wanted to raise the question. I think we need to consider what that means. So when you hire an NES, can Pacifica insulate itself from litigation liability? Is there any way of doing that? If so, then how would one go about that? And at that point, we need some legal expertise as far as shifting the litigation liability. I just wanted to raise the question. Perhaps this body can raise or discuss it informally, and then perhaps somewhere further down the line, propose a motion or request the PNB or get some funding to request to make that to pose that question to Foundation Council.
This is Grace.
Yes.
I'd like to comment on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most efficient and most inexpensive way to do this is to have a question or a couple of questions in writing that are very clear that the Interim General Counsel can respond to in writing so that we're really clear on what our questions are and we're very clear on what his response is.
Well, could I suggest, Yosha, that would you be willing to take the first crack at a draft of those questions, maybe circulate on the city listserv for further input, and then, after a few days, go ahead and send it to Grace to forward to Mr. DeAnda?
Sure. I'll do that.
Okay. Anything else on this question, or can we go on?
I just want to thank Yosha for bringing it up.
Yeah. No, that's a very important issue. Thank you. Okay, the next item is the pros and cons of a hybrid election, meaning a combination of mail-in ballots and electronic voting. And this is set for 25 minutes, and that's tied to the question of whether to move to a long-term electronic election. So this will take us right up till 10:30 when we adjourn. So
Mr.
the floor
Chair,
is open. Yes.
Steve Brown, I would like to propose that statement of the issue be changed. I do not think that legally we can possibly have a totally electronic election. There has to be some way for bona fide members who do not have internet access to vote. And no matter how we arrange it, go to a Kinko's or whatever, there are going to be some people, even if it's only one, who can't vote, who will be able to demand a ballot. So however, even if we have 99.9% voting electronically, we will have to set up a system to provide hard paper ballots. So we might as well deal with that and get rid of the option to have 100% electronic voting. We can't do it.
That's a very good point. Okay. Well, so the floor is open. I think it might be useful, since we only have 15 minutes, to start with what might affect this year's election before we get into the longer-term questions. But that's just my suggestion. Who would like to speak?
Anthony here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think given the other issues we have before us and the where we are on the calendar now, I think we just ought to put this idea of even a hybrid electronic election aside. I think we should just face the fact that this year's election ought to be on paper, and we can talk about ideas for hybrid elections down the line. I don't think we have the time to do that this year.
This is Grace. I'd like to speak to that.
Okay, Grace.
And Carolyn on the list, Liz.
Yep.
And Bill.
Carol. And then Bill. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, I've spoken to some of the GMs in the network, and a number of the stations are already harvesting email lists as on a regular basis for their membership. Some stations have as many as, if I'm remembering correctly, 40% of their listenership, membership have email addresses. I think it would be probably, it has to be planned out and costed out, but Sean Heitkamper said that it would be easy to harvest the email addresses for a good percentage of our membership. I think that the costs involved would be minimal in comparison to the savings. And also, it would provide email lists to our stations so that on a regular basis they can do email appeals, have email contact with the membership. So it would reap benefits for the stations after the elections are over. So I think that there are many ways that we could harvest the email contact information for our membership and save money in this election. I talked with Lynn Magno in the finance office, and we spent in the last election, just in the election alone, $210,000, and that's not taking into consideration the legal costs that arose. So any way that we can cut costs should be investigated, in my opinion.
Mr. Chair, Steve Brown?
Yeah, hold on, Steve. I have other people in front of you.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, Carolyn, then Bill, then Steve.
And then Wendy.
And then Wendy.
Thank you. I think we've already discussed this somewhat. I think the biggest savings in the short term are going to be sending out the candidate statements because that's the heaviest postage item. So we need to pass some of those motions that Grace was asking us to do. One of them would be that to mandate that GMs continue harvesting email addresses. But then as we talk with vendors, make sure that written into the contract is some procedure. I'd say the first procedure would be to query members, as to whether they will accept the candidate statements on email. Don't forget, there's a bylaws restriction here. And the balloting might wait. We might see considerable savings just by making available online anything that we need and then have members request something on paper if they want it. Just reverse the process for this election. That would be a great advance while we're harvesting the ballots. The balloting is a separate issue, I think. But at least the information online would be a great saving. And then we could work on the balloting slowly and partially. That's a little more complicated, however.
Bill?
All of the vendors that we talked to said they're already doing this. So it's not going to delay things. It's not going to take more time. They've already can handle hybrid elections. And they all confirmed also that, yes, it would save money if we didn't have to mail the complete packet out to everyone. Now, one of the things we would need to decide is what the default situation would be. I think Yosha suggested the default might be send a postcard to everybody and tell them if they do not respond, then we'll mail you the whole thing. But assuming that 80% of the people won't vote anyway or might not vote anyway, that wouldn't save a lot. I suggest that the default would be that we send a postcard to everybody, encourage them to vote electronically, tell them why, and then ask them to take a positive step, respond if they do want the complete package mailed to them. I think that would perhaps cut down on the mailing by 80% or so. And it also, the other advantage is might increase turnout. People tend to put aside their election packet until they've made up their minds and then lose them. And this would also make getting replacement ballots easier if people are willing to vote online. So it's a cost saving and also might potentially increase turnout.
Steve, and then I'm going to call myself.
Yeah, I think there's
after Wendy, right?
Oh, right.
There's probably a misunderstanding of how complex this is. It's not at all, as the last speaker just pointed out. Templates already exist. We can, if we wanted to, we could hold an election next week online as a hybrid, although it would take more time to print than it would to get this online. The money we'll save in processing the ballots would be considerable. I think that, however, whatever we do, there is no way any election will be other than hybrid. And mailing a postcard to people, asking them to go online, is to miss an opportunity. We will have to mail. We'll have to send a mailing to every single registered member telling them about the election, whichever way we want to hold it, online, offline. And in this mailing, if we send it in an envelope, we can use that to solicit funds to offset the election which we can be very successful at. We can provide all sorts of incentives for them to go online and have a raffle. And I believe one of the vendors suggested that, but that's a standard method of working. I think it's pretty clear that we will have to have a hybrid election. The only question is whether we want to do it for this upcoming election, and we can do it. The printing will take us as much time as always. The putting it online will take almost no time at all. Any one of these election firms can set it up before you can even think twice about it.
Point of information?
Yes.
Am I to understand that the questions of lists and who are actual registered members has been resolved at this point?
You joke, surely, madam.
Can you clarify your question? I don't quite understand it.
I know that there's been discussion about getting lists, cleaning up the list, and the discussion that you're having at this point suggests that it's simply a matter of providing the list. So I thought perhaps I had missed something in the interim.
Well, one motion, just to refresh your memory, that the PNB passed, I forget how many, 3, 4, 5 months ago, came out of this committee, which was to recommend that each station manager do an NCOA, a National Change of Address inquiry. Well, actually, Steve, you know the details. Why don't you explain it briefly?
It's not a National Address inquiry. We simply send each station's list to any mailing house we choose, and they'll run it through the government's NCOA, National Change of Address data program, and that will resolve 90 to 99% of all the bad addresses, undeliverable addresses. They will come back to you with any undeliverables flagged, any new addresses flagged, and what will happen is that the election ballot itself will take care of the last 1%. Because you'll get so few back that are undeliverable that you'll be able to send out replacement ballots almost immediately, and you won't have any more problems. That should be done automatically. We should have done it already. I don't know what's holding it up. So that's the only issue. The only other issue, of course, is staff lists. So far, no movement has been made on that.
But just to clarify on the listener membership list, the step that takes after it's run through the mailing house through that NCOA is that the general manager has to assign somebody to follow up on the bad addresses to see if they can get a good address by perhaps going to the database, looking at a phone number, calling that phone number and saying, it appears that you move, what's your new address, and so on. So that's where there may be a little bit of a delay in fully cleaning up the list. But certainly that just running it through the database is a very important first step.
And if we do it now, we'll have a long time to make those corrections. It won't have to be done in one day.
Can I have a follow-up?
Yes.
And that given those facts, is not this discussion premature?
Who would like to answer that?
Wendy, it sort of fits into the things I was going to say.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, the RFPs that we sent out to all the different places specified a hybrid election. If the people in Pacifica are environmentalists, they tend to be thinking about sustainability. If we don't get started on this email stuff now, it'll just be that much longer. I mean, we are supposed to be asking whenever we take a pledge on the phone, what is the person's email address? This will help to get people to do that. I do believe that it'll increase turnout. I pay all my bills online. I could do that. I have this one utility that gets turned off all the time, which is my water bill, because they don't have a way to pay it online. I have to, cut out an envelope and a stamp and send it, and I've screwed that up so many times. But I also want to say that our elections costing $200,000 is just crazy especially since each dollar that we have is becoming so much harder to get in this economy. So, I mean, that's a several staff positions. So we have to start it now, and I don't think it's a premature conversation at all. Did that answer the question?
All right. Go ahead.
Can I respond?
Yes.
It seems to me that unless the preparation and readiness is, and the foundation is ready to proceed with the hybrid or ballot election, then we're better served with resolving those issues and making sure that the ground has been laid for realization of the next step. And so that is the reality as opposed to another theory.
Well, if I can say something about this, I think that there's two somewhat separate related issues. One is the status of our snail mail list, and, you know, Steve described the process to clean that up. Then the other is the question of how many email addresses we have and how many we can get, which is somewhat separate thing, although, you know, I agree that we can certainly encourage the GMs who, if they haven't already, and I know it, at BAI that's been happening for several years, but if there are any that don't collect them routinely, we should certainly encourage that immediately. But I just wanted to address one point Bill made about offering an opt-in for the paper candidate statements rather than an opt-out. That if I understood him correctly, he said it would actually increase participation. I actually think the opposite is true. We have a lot of older listeners who are not online or are very uncomfortable being online, and there's also people that just have very busy, difficult lives. And so the idea of an opt-in, in other words, that unless you take an affirmative step, you fill out a postcard, go to a post office, drop it, or go to a mailbox and drop it off, then you won't get anything on paper that explains who all these candidates are, what they stand for. I think that's actually a recipe for reducing voter turnout, because people are going to get their ballot and say, you know, I don't know who these people are, and they may have missed, or they may have put on the shelf the little postcard that came 3 months earlier or 2 months earlier saying, you need to send this in if you want a paper copy. And then those people that don't have it, and I'm not satisfied with those who say, well, anyone can go to a public library, because that's not always the case. We can't make presumptions about what conditions people live under, where they live, what their transportation options are, issues of disability. There's a lot of reasons people can't be online, and we can't make an obstacle course for those who are not online, and that's what I think this would be. So I think an opt-out would be fairer and less likely to reduce voter participation.
This is Grace.
Yes, Grace. Go ahead.
Because these savings could be significant, and as my opinions regarding this, as well as your opinions and the opinions of anyone else on this committee, are purely anecdotal, it might be wise to do a poll of part of the membership to find out what their preferences would or would not be, rather than just make assumptions.
That's an interesting idea, as long as the poll is not done online.
Yeah. By the way, Bob, that wouldn't so much reduce response as skew it. You get a different segment of the membership voting than before.
Yeah, that may well be true. All right, folks, it's 10:31. We're at time, so unless there's any burning comment that needs to be made, I think we're going to adjourn to our very short executive session. And any last points?
Just, this is Jim.
Jim, go ahead.
Just one thing. I think we need to consider how we can save money in any way we can on this election without it damaging our relationship with our audiences. with our membership. I listened to everything you said, and everything you said I agree with in terms of especially our elderly members and so forth. But I think that we ought to consider how to phase in electronic voting over a period of time with careful, very careful instructions and without damaging the relationship with our membership.
Okay.
Can I make one last comment?
Okay. Go ahead.
I think this gives us a really great opportunity to save money on the election, but also to engage our membership in the election by contacting them way in advance to see what they prefer and what their suggestions are. So I think that should be taken into consideration.
Okay. Well, this is all food for thought for the next meeting, so be thinking about proposals and motions for when we convene in April. So with that, why don't we take a five-minute break and then reconvene on this line very briefly in executive session. Okay? So, John, thank you for streaming us, and if you could, you know, keep it going for when we come back. Thank you all. Talk to you soon.